smartphone sales disappoint today at Samsung? What was the song? Samsung Blue?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Apple's $35 billion in profits was in the spotlight earlier this week. Its rival Samsung's report is out today, a record $8.5 billion, in line with expectations. But its mobile phone business shrank 3.5%, leaving questions about whether Samsung can keep its lead over Apple in this supremely lucrative area. Shannon Mullen reports.
Strong sales of Samsung's latest smartphone, the Galaxy S4, helped put the company back on top. Staying there might be tough.
The growth of smartphones is slowing.
Tech industry analyst Jeff Kagan says by now, most people who want smartphones have them.
So with that, all these makers are going to be facing the same threat. They have to come up with new devices, new pricing, new features.
As Samsung can attest, innovation gaps leave time for competitors to catch up, especially if they make cheaper phones. Gartner analyst Hughes De La Verne.
Chinese vendors, Huawei and ZTE, which have adopted a very low margin to no margin strategy, are really creating pricing pressure for vendors like Samsung and others on the low end.
Samsung's got problems in the high-end market, too. There's a new smartphone coming down the line from Motorola and Google, set to launch August 1st. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Japan's volatile Nikkei index fell 3% overnight. In London, the FT 100 is down 0.25%. The Dow rose 13 points yesterday, but index futures in the U.S. are down right now. When Facebook stock went up 30% yesterday, founder Mark Zuckerberg made some money. According to Bloomberg News, he made $3.8 billion in a single day, on paper, of course. By my calculation, that's the entire GDP of Sierra Leone. Words in the news today, disgorge and clawback. The government is now trying to force the prominent hedge fund SAC Capital to forfeit $10 billion in what prosecutors regard as ill-gotten gains. Yesterday, criminal charges were filed against SAC for alleged insider trading. The company says it never encouraged or tolerated the practice. It's the end of an era at Ford today. After 100 years of production in the United Kingdom, the U.S. auto giant is closing its last vehicle assembly operation in Britain. The work's going to Turkey. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Ford finished car production here more than a decade ago, and closure of the van factory has been in the cards for a year or two. But the end of transit van making in Britain today still comes as a shock. The Transit is a British icon, much favoured by plumbers, electricians, and even bank robbers. It's a bit of a blow to national pride that Brits won't be making them anymore. Professor David Bailey of Coventry University Business School.
It's a sad day, really, both to see Ford leave the UK, but also to see transit van production going off to Turkey, given its iconic importance to the industry. But from a cost point of view, you can see why Ford has done this.
Transit production will switch to Ford's Turkish facilities, which can produce 10 times the number of vans as the British plant at a significantly lower cost. Ford will still employ more than 10,000 people here making engines, but the loss of assembly delivers a bit of a dent to the UK's manufacturing reputation. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
We do a fair amount of coverage of strikes in France. They're not uncommon. But with France's economy in trouble, a group of employees is demanding to work more, Christopher Worth reports.
Street protests in France are usually in French. But at this demonstration in Paris, protesters have pulled their slogan straight from the Obama campaign.
Yes, we can! Yes, we can! Yes, we can!
But instead of yes, we can, they're chanting yes, we can, as in Saturday and Sunday. The French government restricts most stores from opening on Sundays, a day traditionally reserved for family time in France.
On Sundays, in the French culture, you don't work.
Protester Taub Morad is with a group of employees from two large hardware store chains in France that's fighting for the right to work on Sundays. Morad earns his living in the bathroom supply department. He says Sunday restrictions are bad for workers and the French economy.
The French economy today is in a bad position. You know, we have recession, we have problems with unemployment, and we need things to be changed. We need to get jobs, and not letting us working on Sundays won't do that. It's not fair.
And companies say lifting Sunday restrictions would generate millions of dollars in sales. But so far, the French government has refused, despite the fact that Spain and Italy have made similar changes to Sunday rules. University of Paris professor Olivier Babeau says that's because French officials fear a backlash from powerful trade unions.
Trade unions are very, very inflexible about this problem. In fact, they don't want to speak about it.
In fact, they didn't respond to numerous requests for an interview. Babeau says their concern could be that giving up Sundays off might open the door to other bigger labor reforms. And while you might think customers would be happy to shop on Sundays, not all of them support the idea. I met Oliver Thedoulou shopping at a Paris hardware store.
I know it's going to be more convenient if stores are going to be open, but to be honest, I believe that it's better not to work on Sundays, so I prefer most of the stores to be closed.
He was taking care of his home improvement needs in the middle of a weekday. In Paris, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And the challenges of applying your values to your portfolio. The Church of England has been on a crusade against payday lending that it believes preys on the poor. It singled out Wonga.com, which makes high-interest short-term loans. In an effort to, quote, compete Wonga out of existence, the Archbishop of Canterbury is making church land available to competing credit unions. But now the Financial Times has discovered the Church of England indirectly invested some of its money in the very same Wonga. The Archbishop says he's embarrassed and has ordered a probe. The church has rules to discourage putting its investments in any company where the business is more than 25% high-interest lending, 10% military products, or 3% pornography. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.